Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. I was requested by His Holiness Ranath Maharaj to speak briefly. And after this, a brief talk, and then all the devotees will come and we'll continue with the program on questions and answers. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has spoken many things, but he writ that are the essential principles of how to practice the science of Krishna consciousness. But the sum total of everything he spoke and performed was written down by him in 8 beautiful verses known as Shik Shastika, the 8 essential teachings that make up the principles of the science of pure devotional service. Pure devotional service, and actually when we speak of devotional service, we have to speak about pure devotional service. There are other forms of devotional service, which are devotional service mixed with the desire for fruit of gain through performing activities, the desire to develop philosophical knowledge on scripture and to become free from the miseries of the material energy. Karma Mishya Bhakti, and various forms of, we say, material tendencies, which are combined with the pure science of devotion. But really, as Vaishnavas, we want to get through those stages and come to the real platform of devotional service, which is pure devotional service, which is the natural constitutional position of the soul. Savai pumsam paro dharmo eto bhakti ahoksaje ahoituki apriyata yayatma suprasiddhi. That Srimad Bhagavatam, Sutta Goswami, as he's speaking to the sages of Nayanarisharanya, he's responding to their questions. What is the highest activity for wealth within human society? What is that activity which is above all other forms of activity? That is the nature of the living entity's existence. And he answers by reciting this verse. It is devotional service, but it has to have 2 particular qualities. It has to be without personal motivation, and it has to be without cessation. And this is what we're striving for, because until the soul comes to this platform of spiritual activity, it remains, what we say, incomplete in its perfection of existence. And ultimately, within that incompleteness, there is a rebirth. Well, pure devotional service immediately transfers one back to the kingdom of God. So Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught that science in these 8 verses called Shikshastakam. And in the first verse, he describes the glories of the holy name. The holy name purifies the mind, clears away the material contaminations that have been associated with the living entity due from time immemorial. He goes on to explain that that chanting the holy name pushes back the fire of material suffering, miseries caused by the body, miseries caused by the mind, miseries caused by other living entities, And misery is caused by just the nature of this material energy. Higher powers, devas, demigods, excessive cold, heat, so many different difficulties that come just by being in association with the material energy. These are miseries, things that are unwanted. And he goes on to explain that chanting of the holy name awakens one's good fortune. Everyone has good fortune, it explained. The soul by nature is part and parcel of Krishna. That is his good fortune, ultimately. But to realize that good fortune is a process, and the process begins with and develops on and ends with, or what we say, continues on with glorification of the Lord by chanting His holy name. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And he goes on to explain that it brings transcendental knowledge. Transcendental knowledge is not something you can read out of books and expect to have transcendental knowledge. There are many persons who have scholarly expertise upon scriptures. They can quote scriptures, they can recite scriptures, they can even discuss things. But they have no bhakti. They're more like academicians, scholars, various people who study the scriptures from a material point of view, or to get some intellectual, what we say, position based on having spiritual information. But they have no realization of scripture. It's all external. So transcendental knowledge is awakened through the process of bhakti. And the process of bhakti is, again, situated on the glorification of the holy name. So, as we chant the holy name and come in contact with this philosophy, the philosophy becomes alive, it becomes awakened, it becomes part of us. We can actually experience the knowledge not only in a theoretical way, which is the beginning of understanding, but in a realized way, where the knowledge actually becomes a feature of one's bhakti. In other words, it becomes part of you. The knowledge is not extraneous anymore. It becomes part of the living entity. So this transcendental knowledge is awakened through the process of chanting. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu goes on to explain it's an unlimited ocean of happiness. Anandam Buddhi Vardhanam. The soul is by nature ananda. It's always in a position of trying to find happiness. We see in this material world, generally there are two types of activities by the living entities in the material world. Performing activities which will bring pleasure, trying to avoid activities which will cause pain or suffering. Everything is centered around these two, what we say, focuses. How to become happy, how to do things which will bring happiness, or in how to avoid suffering, difficulty, misery, like that. But therefore, it is natural to experience pleasure because it's the nature of the soul. Ananda, ananda. So that ananda is awakening and developed in through the chanting of the holy name. Unlimited, not simply some stimulation of the senses, but something that goes deep within the heart and mind of the living entity and brings one to this platform of unlimited ecstatic pleasure continuously. That is our nature. And again, the holy name is the means for awakening that and developing that to its ultimate perfection. So therefore, Lord Chaitanya says, it's an unlimited ocean of happiness. In other words, you can never possibly measure the depth and breadth of the ocean. It's impossible. It's unlimited. It's like if you were to take a billion gallons of water out of the ocean. That's a lot of water. Still, the ocean is still an ocean. Probably even, you can't even notice that that much water has been taken out. And if you were to add a billion gallons of water, you wouldn't even notice. Ocean's unlimitedly, I mean, it's a material thing, but we can see from using this example, in one sense, of the unlimited qualities of the ocean, unlimited depth. So Lord Chaitanya, using that analogy, compares the holy name to this type. This pleasure is unlimited. And he goes on to say that every living entity has an eternal relationship with Krishna in the spiritual world. This is part of our existence. We have qualities, we have forms, we have characteristics, we have service, we have so many things. These things are gradually realized through the process of chanting, coupled with the process of executing devotional service under the instructions of the spiritual master. Pratipadam purnam rita svardhanam. At every step, there's newer and more realizations of the glories of the Lord and of our relationship with the Supreme Lord. And finally, in the last statement, he says, sarvatma snaparam, that it's a complete bath. There's nothing left. In other words, there's no other process that's needed in this age than the chanting of the holy name. Everything you're looking for on all aspects of existence, both materially and spiritual, is found within the holy name. It's complete. There's nothing else that is left. It's the perfection of all spiritual activities. But then, in the next verse, after giving these seven statements of glorification, of course, these are the seven prominent. There are many, many other characteristics, qualities, benefits of chanting the holy name. But he names the foremost ones. Then again, in the second verse, he says, there's no hard and fast rules for chanting. Anyone can chant any time, any place. All of Krishna's qualities are found in Krishna's name. And no rules, no restrictions. But then he ends the verse, he says, Dordaivam riddhi samayhajini nanduragaha. He says, I have no traction, I have no taste. Why? Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur, in analyzing these verses, gives an interesting commentary. He says, Lord Chaitanya is saying, I have no taste. Not that he has no taste, he's playing the part of a conditioned soul and teaching through that principle that we have to avoid offenses. Because offenses block our ability to taste the sweetness of the holy name. These offenses are considered to be anarthas, or things that are unwanted. Anartha means one unwanted things, or things that, like the sun, the holy name is pure, it's bright, it's auspicious. But if there's a cloud in front of the sun, then although the sun is still there in its same position, in its same power, it is, one cannot experience the burst, the benefit of the sun because of the cloud. So he says these offenses are like clouds that cover the holy name. So the process is to chant the holy names of the Lord and to very carefully avoid offenses. What are the offenses? Offenses to the name. Every day in our temples we recite the 10 offenses to the holy name. This is one category of offenses. Offenses to the Lord in the process of executing devotional service. Offenses to the Lord's name, offenses to the Lord. Offenses to Vaishnavas and offenses to other living beings. These are the four categories of offenses. So one has to chant the holy names and very, very carefully, consciously avoid these offenses. But how do you do that? What is the mood? What is the means of executing devotional service in such a way that we can protect ourselves from offensive mentality? And then Lord Chaitanya gives the formula. Trinadapi sanijena tayor iva suhishnuna amaninam amanadena kirtaniya sadarahi. He explains that this verse is the basis of how a devotee should behave. Humility, tolerance, pridelessness, and respect for others. This is the theme that's been very much propagated so far in our Puna Yatra. How to develop Vaishnava relationships. How to deepen Vaishnava relationships. How to practice the process in such a way that the Vaishnavas become a source of great happiness in association. And Lord Chaitanya gives this formula, that one has to cultivate these qualities. And these qualities, humility, tolerance, pridelessness, and respect and honor for others, are they allow us to practice devotional service steadily. Rupa Goswami gives the science of bhakti in 9 steps. He says, first you have a little faith. What is this spiritual practice? What is this Krishna consciousness movement? And you associate with devotees. And through the association of devotees and practicing the process, you get a taste for the process. Then you think, let me become more serious in the process. Then you get initiated. And then you have a spiritual master. And you work under the guidance of the spiritual master. And carefully executing the process. And then by working under his guidance, gradually those things that are, what we say, our material conditioning, gradually are removed and our spiritual existence is being awakened through the process. These are the anarthas. So this third verse is the platform of anartha nivritti, getting rid of the anarthas. I'm sorry, the second verse is the anartha nivritti. The third verse is nishta, steady. How to become steady in devotional service, wherein these anarthas are removed. In fact, one cannot become steady in devotional service until a good part of the anarthas, the offenses, the material tendencies are removed. So sometimes devotees ask the question, I've been chanting Hare Krishna for so long and I'm doing all the process, but I don't feel like I'm making any advancement. It seems to be so difficult. I don't know why. Here's the point, is that the anarthas are still there. The anarthas are still there. At least a majority of them. So one has to carefully practice devotional service by avoiding the offenses and cultivating this mood of humility, tolerance, pridelessness, and respect for others, and at the same time diving deeply into the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Because everything is based on the process of chanting. But chanting does not develop unless we are carefully cultivating that mood of devotional service. Sometimes, I know some devotees who've been chanting for 20 years. But they're still criticizing devotees. They still have material tendencies. They're still doing everything that, many of them wanted what they had been doing before. But they're, practicing some form of devotional service and chanting. Why? Because the anarthas is still there. Not properly cultivating that mood. So this is important to understand. Because these anarthas are like the clouds that cover the sun. The sun is so bright. And the holy name alone what is that verse? Beautiful verse from the Padma Purana. The last line is Binnatvam Nami Nami No. Krishna, what is that verse? What's the first word? Nama Chintamani Krishnas Chaitanya Rasa Vigraha Purnya Surya Nitya Mukta Binnatvam Nami Nami No. Beautiful verse from the Padma Purana. Just glorifying the holy name. And in the last line, Binnatvam Nami Nami No. That the name of Krishna is Krishna. There's no difference. He who is named and the name itself is the same. And guess what? Who's more merciful? Okay, I don't know if we can make a distinction, but for the sake of philosophy, we will. Well, who is more merciful, Krishna or Krishna's name? It's like the saying, it's like saying the same thing, but in a different way. Krishna's name is more merciful than Krishna because Krishna cannot be approached otherwise only through the name. It is the name that awakens within us the realization of Krishna, or Krishna consciousness. So there's nothing more merciful than the holy name of the Lord, as described by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and the great Acharyas, and everyone who understands the process of bhakti, always glorifying. But what is the essence? That one has to cultivate these qualities. What is humility? There are two kinds of humility. Sometimes we make a distinction just for the sake of fun. As Radhanath Maharaj was speaking, when he first began the program on the first day of Puni Yatra, he was talking about humility. And how by circumstance, when one is put into a situation where they're forced to take shelter of the Lord, they're forced to become humble. There's no choice. Because of the circumstances, there's nothing I can do but just pray to Krishna for his mercy. I'm forced to take shelter. I can't protect myself by my intelligence, by my manipulation of my situation. I can only take shelter of the holy name. I'm forced to become humble. And that is humility. But real humility becomes established within the heart when we understand through knowledge what is our position. By knowledge we understand. It's not that we have to keep getting circumstances to remind us to become humble. That could be painful, right? Yes. I mean, they're helpful and they're important and they're necessary. But really, by remembering or understanding through the process of knowledge that the soul is a tiny particle of the Supreme Soul, Krishna. And the soul, although it's of Krishna's spiritual internal energy, still it has a tendency to become, not tendency, it is constantly overshadowed by the external material energy, which is the inferior energy. Although it's spiritual, because it's a wave, it's like the spark, it's away from the fire, therefore it's in another atmosphere which is different than its true nature. Therefore, gradually the spark will become overcome by the other atmosphere. It goes out. So in the same way, the material energy, although it's inferior to the spiritual energy, which is our nature, the tendency is to become overcome by the material energy. So one has to understand that I have to take shelter of the Lord, not 8 hours a day, not 23 hours and 59 minutes and 37 seconds. One has to take shelter of the holy name constantly, or Krishna in the form of his name, 24 hours a day. Why? Because that's the nature of the soul, is to always be in contact with the spiritual, with Krishna through the spiritual process. So therefore, cultivating the process of humility, tolerance, as Radhanath Maharaj was saying, the principle of tolerance is also connected with the principle of humility, because if one is not tolerant, it's not possible to develop humility, which is foremost of all of them. Even in Krishna, he explains in the Bhagavad Gita, out of all the qualities of a Vaishnava, of all the processes that bring about transcendental knowledge, he names first, amanitvam, adambitvam, ahimsam. He says first is humility. Humility simply means to understand your position, that's all. It's what it means. It means to be real. That's all. So real humility means to be in a position of taking shelter of the Lord and engaging in devotional service. Because real shelter means to be engaged in the process of bhakti. So Lord Chaitanya is giving us the formula how to successfully practice the process of bhakti by cultivating these qualities. And then chanting the holy names of the Lord. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. And that is the foundation for everything else we do in spiritual life. As Maharaj was saying in his early lecture, without a foundation, what is the value of whatever you build on top of it? No one sees the foundation, but the foundation is fundamental to whatever else comes. So, chant the holy names and cultivate the qualities of a Vaishnava. In the beginning stages of our spiritual practice, we may dovetail our tendencies, whatever those tendencies are, in devotional service. But in the higher stages or more accomplished stages, we have to reach the mode of goodness. Have to practice devotional service in the mode of goodness, because only the qualities of the mode of goodness are conducive to the process of spiritual advancement. One cannot make advancement unless one cultivates that mood of devotion. Because Krishna is accepting not so much what we offer, but the mood of whatever we're offering. And these qualities of a Vaishnava are very pleasing to the Lord and to the spiritual master. So practice this devotional service very carefully. It is a cultivation. And as Srila Prabhupada says, one has to be conscious and cautious. Conscious of Krishna and cautious not to become victimized by the material energy. Maharaj was also saying that a lot of times through the process of inattention, which is a feature of the material energy covers the living entity, and therefore one is subjected to inattention to the spiritual. Through the process of inattention, we make mistakes, we commit offenses, or we just act in the wrong way. So, again, humility, tolerance, pridelessness, and respect and honor for others. And how can you respect and honor everyone? Is it possible? I mean, some people are just not respectable. Yes. I mean, to say everyone is respectable, in the external sense of the term, is not correct. But what makes all living entities respectable by a Vaishnava? Think of a Vaishnava doesn't see simply the living being in the external sense. He's seeing beyond that. He's seeing that within the heart of that living entity, Krishna's there. Mm-hmm. Krishna's in the heart of all living entities, even those in other species of life. Plants, trees, birds, beasts, aquatics, all the forms of life. So therefore, the living, a Vaishnava is the well-wisher of all living entities. Why? Because he gives honor and respects to all. Mm-hmm. And what is the quality that makes all devotees respectable? New devotees, those who are just associating with devotees to learn the process, we can say beginners, neophytes, all devotees. What is about those who, what is the quality that makes them extremely glorious and respectable? It's because they've come to the process of devotional service. Therefore, they have all good qualities, no matter who they are. Why? Because they've understood the essence that here is the perfection of life. Therefore, that's the essential good qualities which will bring about all other good qualities in due course of time. So again, back to the essential point, Lord Chaitanya is explaining that this mood, this third verse of Shikshastakam, is the mood for practicing devotional service successfully. And as one cultivates this mood of devotional service, these four qualities, one comes to the next verse, as Lord Chaitanya says, I don't want wealth, I don't want followers, and I don't want the pleasures of the opposite sex. I don't even want to be known as a great exponent of spiritual philosophy. I don't want even, and then he ends the verse, I don't even want liberation. I simply want Okay, we're about to begin the drama. So he ends this particular verse by saying, it's not that he's just saying it theoretically, he's saying it at a realization. Because he's developed a taste, then these things are no longer wanted in the life of a devotee. So I'll end here, and we're about to have a little drama. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Hare Krishna. Thank you.